Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, hello everybody and welcome to Brian Gittins and Friends. And, well, what can I say? Every time he's always here, he's on my right-hand side, it's David Edwards.
Hello, people.
6 foot.
6 foot, 3 inches, 0.5. Not quite the 4 inches, but I'm just hovering below it.
And your nickname this episode is the Blonde...
Blizzard. The Blonde Blizzard.
Okay, why so?
Because once again, I'm hovering in the air. I'm full of positive energy moving forward. Like previous episodes, I've been a meteor or a pigeon. This now, I'm
I was a pigeon.
You were a pigeon. You're quite right. I think I was a kestrel.
Yeah.
But it's about moving forward and being in orbit.
Yeah.
And being optimistic.
And our guest this episode is Chris Dangerfield. Thank you so much for coming along, Chris.
An absolute pleasure.
Well, I hope you enjoy yourself. I mean, David's lovely company.
Oh, Chris is going to be even more wonderful company, I think. I think he's going to top me there.
Is he?
I'm pretty confident.
Okay, well, we're in the hairdressers.
Good day to you humans.
Ah, Charles. Charles. That's Charles over there. So, but we're in a hairdresser's today, and I thought we could all get our hair cut.
Looking forward to it. Bit of a snip, yep. Definitely.
Take a seat.
Take a seat, Chris. Take a seat, David.
To be honest, David, your hair's kind of going where mine sort of went a few years ago, I think.
It's got to be said.
All next to each other.
All next to each other, yes. Looking in the mirror is a funny old feeling, isn't it?
It certainly is. Looking at your reflection, looking at your own eyeballs.
Look at the hairdresser to your left, David.
Oh, good grief. A certain. She's going to turn shoulder, heads in a bar. In a bar, isn't she? Heads and shoulders.
Yeah, head and shoulders.
It'll be sexist the game, but you know. She certainly is. She's a
not going to be what?
Sexist again.
Well, you do tend to be each episode.
Every now and then, but she's just a good-looking gal. Simple as that. She's here to cut hair to pay for her rent, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask the first.
I will be cutting all of your hair as the star far off.
Charles is going to be cutting all of our hair.
That's unexpected, but let's go for it.
Thank you so much. So the first question is, have you ever been for a massage?
I have. I've had a head massage, an Indian head massage. When I was going through a very ridiculous stage when I was in my early 20s, I used to go to Tony and Guy's, the hip hairdressers people, and I used to sometimes give them up to £50 to £60 to look like, I don't know who it was back then, Mark Owen or Schofield or whoever it was.
Schofield?
It was quite big then, I think, you know.
You didn't ask for that, though, did you?
No, I don't think so, but I'd have Sky magazine or whatever was big in the 90s then, and I'd point to a certain photo, and they always used to give you an Indian head massage beforehand, and they'd put peppermints into your head, not like literal polo peppermints, it was like some kind of cream or something, and it'd make your skull twinkle and whatnot, and really would fill you with a lot of energy. Yeah. And you used to have, once again, I don't mean it in an inappropriate manner, but, you know, an attractive female would be there, you know, sort of, you know, touching a scalp type of thing. And
it was scalp?
Scalp your head.
Scalp.
Scalp, you're quite right, scalp. Get it right. Get the right anatomy correct. And it's a case
what
of...
What hairstyle do you want today, David?
I would like just a wedge here, around the back of the head, just so it's got a bit of individuality to it, because at the moment it just feels like a big blonde, I don't know, like a melon on my head sort of thing. There's nothing identifiable about it.
I think the wedge...
I'll do me best.
Thank you. That's all I can ask.
I think the wedge is the bit at the front. The bit you want is the step.
The step.
Yeah.
And it was called a step wedge, wasn't it? Circa 84. Right.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Like you got an elastic band around your head.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I'd like a step, please. Yeah, quite right. Circa 84. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And also, you can sometimes get words. Not that I want words in my...
If you had to, what would you have?
I think I would have something like... something very peaceful, like brother. Something that's... something that is not... Because you're going to be wandering the streets with
brother.
It. Yeah, so it's going to be a case of, you know... It's got to be very, you know, nothing controversial.
No.
There's nothing controversial about a brother, is there?
No.
You know, you don't want to be spat on by...
A CND sign, maybe.
A CND sign?
CND sign, what's that?
Different generation, you see, Brian.
You're 38.
Oh, CND, isn't that the... Oh, I don't know. Is that the Y in a circle? Or? Oh, there we go. I do know it. I'm on the... I'm with the kids.
Well, going back to the massage, have you ever thought about going for a naughty massage? Have you ever gone for a naughty massage, Chris?
I done an Edinburgh show called How I Spent £150,000 on Chinese Massages.
OK, now, OK.
Goodness me.
This is why we are... Did you really?
Goodness me.
All hour on it.
I didn't do it in the end because the triads...
What?
Yeah, I got in a bit of trouble.
What happened?
They asked me if I could not do that because it was exposing the fact that the over 100 Chinese massage shops in Soho are all brothels.
Goodness me, that really is looking underneath the curtain, isn't it?
Under the curtain.
Yeah, indeed, of what's happening.
It's like the bit in The Wizard of Oz.
You are quite right, but, you know, you haven't got a wise man there.
Did you say you spent £150,000?
Yeah, I was seeing like two or three a day.
What, masseurs?
Yeah.
Wow.
Has it become like an addiction?
Yeah, I tell you what, I just come out of rehab and I was clean for the first time in like, what, 20 years?
Right.
And I had issues I hadn't dealt with, and so I moved from narcotics into prostitutes.
It's understandable, it makes sense.
It does.
There's a logic there. No,
yeah.
Absolutely,
no,
you know.
Yes, you're right. Oh, yeah. As I explained, yeah, you know, there was whatever drove me to use narcotics in like an addictive way, but it hadn't been resolved and it moved into another area.
And what do you think it is that fuels the, addiction? What is it deep within? Cause, you know, is it like wanting to fill some kind of void or...?
Yeah, I think it's that simple. It's medication, just like a medicine.
Just dulls your nerves.
You don't feel happy in your skin or with who you are, and so you find a way of distracting yourself from those emotions and feelings.
Goodness me.
Have you ever been addicted to anything, David?
Yes, I have been addicted. Bizarre eating habits, in the sense... I know it sounds odd, it doesn't sound... It's not like Trainspotting.
Well, a couple of months ago, I saw you with a massive bag of carrots.
Well, yeah, it is bizarre stuff like that. I just go crazy, like, at one point, you know, as I say, it's not going to be in the front of the Daily Mail, but I got completely addicted to cereal, whereby I was just eating cereal all the
what
time.
What cereal?
Granola, chocolate chip.
Granola?
Granola, you're quite right, chocolate chip. And it literally, first of all, I thought it was, and also just proper cream, you know, cream, not proper cream, but like whole milk cream. And it was a case of,
How much granola would you get through?
Oh, easily a massive pouch of it. A whole...
When you're sitting?
Yeah, definitely, just sit there. And I could really feel the high from the sugar.
Yeah.
And originally I thought it was me being lazy with my eating. But because after a while, it really played around my digestion. I was having Gaviscon and things because I was having too much bran. There was an addiction. I was looking forward to it. It was like, you know...
Is that why are you clapping?
Well, because I'm excited, you know, about... It'd be a case of, right, I'll watch this film, I'll have one drink with these people, but then I'll get home and have a cereal marathon. And I really would feel the, you know...
Really?
Crunch,
so you'd be
crunch.
Thinking about the cereal?
Yeah, I'd be thinking about the cereal, the cold milk.
Well, I'm kind of with you with Foley's Rust.
And things like... And also breaking into the raisins. And it was... I just have three, you know, and it was... it really, even though it was, like, chewing up my insides...
David.
Yes?
I feel bad that I offered you a hobnob earlier.
That's not a problem, sir, but I said no, and I was very... I kept to my rehab rules. No oats and chocolate.
So did you...
Do you have any addictions?
Sinex.
The old cool. Nose nostril cool spray. Cool. White.
Cool.
Did you identify that you had a problem and set a plan in motion? Did you think, right, this has got to stop, this is causing me problems, I need to do something?
Yes, I did, even to the extent that when I'd visit my parents' home or my sister's home, I'd literally say... I know it sounds ridiculous as I'm saying it, but just put away the cereal, don't keep the cereal around. Because I will just do a box like that. I won't hang around.
And also, what cereal? Can you just give us a list of...
Definitely granola.
Granola, please.
Granola.
Get it right.
Granola with chocolate chip. and lots of sugar, full fat milk, really cold milk, and lot of Frosties. Sometimes it'd be a mixture of lots
of things.
It's
sugar, isn't it? It's a sugar.
It's just a sugar, and I would go into a meditative state. It would dull me.
Right.
You know, I would just be, like, thinking about nothing, just eating it. It was a bit like alcohol in a bizarre way.
Yeah.
So there you go. You know, we all have our addictions that we sniff out. Mine was a cereal aisle. Kellogg's.
Yeah.
How did you end it? How did you finish it?
Step by step, getting rid of it.
You went on a 12-step cereal detox.
It really was that, whereby I couldn't get rid of it straight away, whereby I would have something different for breakfast. I wouldn't have cereal for breakfast. I was having breakfast for dinner for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Because the idea of having to go the whole day and not have my cereal really depressed me.
How long ago was this?
It's come and gone. It's been like an endless shadow that's kind of followed me through life, I think.
Yeah.
I can see why, as a child, when things weren't going well, I'd sit there with loads of cereal and eat in front of Terry Wogan. You know, good feelings, good vibes, with a big bowl of, you know, muesli or Frosties or whatever, and I've just associated, locked on to... It's in a bizarre way, it's almost become a friend. You know, I actually see it as a personality.
What, the cereal bowl?
Cereal in a bizarre way. Yeah, I actually see it as like a friend sort of thing. It's odd.
Chris? Oh, none whatsoever.
Yeah, I can understand that. There's a relationship
yeah,
with
it's
something.
Yeah, it's like a proper relationship, you know. I won't wander through the cereal aisle in Sainsbury's type of thing. No, because I just end up, you know, or if I do, it does feel a bit kind of, oh, that's just, oh, they've done a new version of that, or they've got Rolo cereal now, you know. But, you know, each to their own. But as you quite rightly say, it's the sugar. Simple as that. And clever packaging.
But if it was just sugar, maybe you'd just go for sugar. I think there's more there. There's some symbolic relationship to your childhood because you'd just go for a bag of sugar. But no, you talk about the chocolate chips. You've mentioned chocolate quite a lot. You mentioned your childhood, Terry Wogan.
Yes, he's in the mix.
You know, this
he's
all
in the mix.
No, definitely. No, you're quite right.
Yeah.
And also, there's the buying it. There's the opening the box, popping it in. And also... the idea of doing it secretly. Mm. If it's someone else's cereal, 10 times more exciting.
Wow.
Really?
You know what I mean? Definitely. I used to get...
Would you come round mine and possibly have a little nose round my cereal cupboard?
I would like to. I'm not
if I went upstairs for a slash, would you possibly have a look?
If I was if I slept around your house and I was on your couch...
You'd have a look.
And you were in sleep upstairs, I'd have a look around.
That disgusts me.
That is awful. That is terrible. Yeah, that is terrible.
Would you really have a look around?
I would hope I wouldn't. It would be an interest of... I wonder, you know, what brands he's purchased recently, you know?
Yeah. Porridge. Would that not interest?
Not really. I'd have to start cooking things then with hot water and whatnot. Because that's the other thing with cereal. It's very simple, isn't it? You're still making a meal, but you're not making a meal.
Yeah.
You know, you still feel as though you're putting the ingredients together. You've still got your chef's hat on, but you haven't really. You're just conning yourself like any addiction.
If you were around Brian's and you stayed the night and he put a few cereals down on the table and you went for one, he said, oh, no, you can't have that. That's so-and-so's. That's their special one. Would you be like, oh, I don't know. Would you feel like, oh, hang on?
Would there be a bit of tension?
Yeah, if you were restricted somehow.
If it was like boring grey muesli, no. If it was like, you know, Rice Crackle and Pop, what are they called? You know, Snap Crackle and Pop.
Rice
it was like,
crackle.
You know, if Frosty the Tiger was looking at me, it'd be a case of.
If
you
I
know,
said, no, you're not having any of that, because that's mine, would that annoy you? Would that frustrate you?
I wouldn't show annoyance, but deep down, I'd be swallowing gravel. You know, I'd be a bit irritated. It's like, well, you know, if you came around my house, I'd share my cereal. There's a whole box there.
Yeah.
I don't see why not type of thing.
You're giving me a really dirty
look. No, I'm sure if I went to your house, all cereal will be shared. Also, and I think what would go through my head is, calm down, Dave. On the way home, you can buy your own box of Frosties.
Chris, have you got a question for David? Have you got any question you'd like to throw at him?
Not yet, no.
No. Not yet,
not
no.
Not a problem.
Well, I've got another one, David.
I can jump in here.
Yeah.
So, you know what, when we were talking about you and addictions and that, and you said, I have got one, for some reason, I've got you down as a phone sex man. Have you ever indulged? You know, the old ring them up. I used to call them the 0898.
Why have you got him down as a phone sex man?
I think it's the slacks and the way the shirt's rolled up. And
it was basically, I dabbled in it for a month. Dabbled in it for a month, and it was exciting at one point, incredibly expensive.
By the way, guys, we're having our haircuts.
Yes.
We're in a salon, there are other people here.
Let's do a role play. Let's make a call.
Be aware that there are OAPs over there.
Yeah, you're quite right. So just, thank you, Brian, for making me aware of that. You're quite right.
So, it's phone sex. When did you get into that?
I was working at Blockbusters at the time. The video retail people. That's how I remember it, because I remember wearing my sort of blue tennis top with the Blockbusters tape on the front and just being out by the bins next to a Mel Gibson standee or whatever. And it would be on, there'd be the phone numbers on the back of Empire magazine, the film magazine. And I just, you know, it was exciting and erotic. But I think two things that basically snapped that addiction in half very quickly.
So when you rang them up, would you masturbate in Blockbusters?
Good grief, no. I'll keep it in the old masturbation memory bank.
Yeah.
And, later on type of thing. Or if I was at home, you know what I mean? I was within my own realm type of thing. But thank you for clearing that up and asking that question. That's a very important one.
No worries.
Did you do the ones where you were required to speak and ask questions, or was it just passive consumer?
No, I wasn't interested in the passive recorded ones. I had that a few times and I felt cheated. And they're incredibly expensive. Yeah. They're like £5, which is almost a pornographic videotape back then in the mid-90s, I think. So real, and it was just some ridiculous Mills and Boons kind of narrative, all deconstructed.
So you had someone there live?
Oh, I'd want interaction, I'd want to interface
and
verbally.
What would you ask them? I don't expect you to...
I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it'd be a case of describe yourself, what are you wearing type of thing. Yeah. Remember, I had a Vodafone the size of a brick, and the battery would go very quickly. And also, it was just via tokens, the actual money on the phone. And they would eat it up in no time. I don't think I spent longer than 5 minutes chatting to these women because it was so expensive.
Yeah.
What was the game changer? Because you said a month. So a month is quite a long time. Maybe, every other day?
At one time, it was a lot. It was very exciting. And it became
how much is a lot?
I would say about maybe six, something like that.
Times a day?
It was short.
Times a day?
But only for about 3 or 4 days, type of thing.
Wow.
Because the whole thing lasted a month.
Sure.
But you got three things. Number one, way too expensive. I mean, ridiculous, £3 a minute or something ridiculous. Number two, they would con you with trailers at the beginning before you actually get to speak to somebody.
Yeah.
And number three, sometimes I didn't feel they're putting in 100% really quite lazy. Are you interested in talking to me?
Did you get angry with them?
No, never got angry because I was never on the phone long enough because it just like beep. And I just thought you weren't really involved in that scenario, were you?
Okay.
You know what? I think the trailers and the cost are part of the attraction.
Yes, probably.
What way?
Oh, like on an unconscious level. It's like, I live in Soho, and of an evening everyone's doing cocaine. If that was £2 a gram rather than 60, I don't think anyone would be doing it. I think there's an element of,
hedonism.
Exactly. And sort of,
I'm out of control. Someone stop me. It's naughty.
Yeah.
Slap my wrist.
And I think the trailers, I think that idea of deferred. When is it coming? Hang on, it's an advert. Oh, the next bit will be her saying, oh, hi, how are you? And now it's just like, you want another video?
It's all about projection. The cereal, the women, it's all about anticipation. Once you have it, it's a case, what was that about? Mm. I'm back to zero again.
Here is a telephone for you, David, to call the sex line.
Okay, if you want to call a sex line.
Chris, can you pretend to be the sex line worker?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Do I start with sex? I think that the woman would start, wouldn't they?
I don't know.
I keep pointing. I apologise. Here we go.
Ring, ring.
Hi, sexy. How can I help you tonight?
Well, hello, sexy. This is Dave.
No, I don't believe you would go, well, hello, sexy. Is that the way you...
No, I wouldn't. You're quite right.
So let's do this properly.
Okay, let's...
You're out the front of Blockbusters and you're a little bit nervous.
Ring, ring.
Hi, sexy. How can I help you tonight?
I'd just like to talk about what you've advertised in your magazine. That's possible. Let's have
For the benefit of the listeners at home, Chris's face looked incredibly confused.
But there's a magazine, it's about yummy mummies. I think that was what it said in the magazine. I mean, this is what you've just advertised.
Episode, by the way. it's keep terrible. Up,
it's what you've advertised. You're making me feel uncomfortable.
Let's start again.
I've been rude to
outside Blockbusters, you're a little bit nervous. Here
ring,
we go.
Ring.
Ring, ring.
Hi, you've come through to AB Sexline. How can I help you tonight?
Hi, I'd like to use your business procedure, please. Your service.
Okay, sure. How can I help you? What sort of things are you into, young man? Cereal?
I'm into just getting to know women and just chatting to them. I mean, could you just tell me what you look like, first of all?
Sure. I'm 9 foot tall.
Oh, yeah. 9 foot tall?
Yeah, I have huge ears.
Goodness me, this is a unique look. Sort of, what are you wearing, if you don't mind me asking?
I've got the haircut for the bass player. I can't do this side of this role play. It's too erotic.
It is, isn't it? It's very erotic.
Well, did you find it erotic?
Well, I think if I was outside Blockbusters and I should be like serving the general public, but I'm talking to a woman type of thing for a sex hotline, it kind of adds to the spice type of thing.
Yeah.
If I was just here now with a mobile phone, I don't think it would
exactly
have ticked my erotic box.
That's quite interesting.
I'd love to tick your erotic box.
It's greatly appreciated. So that's quite a compliment.
It's interesting about that, though, because when the massages we were talking about, what got me about them, I live in Westminster, and it was the immediacy of that situation. I could be having a cup of tea or my breakfast or lunch any time of day or night, and within a couple of minutes, I could be having sex with someone. Just
yeah, bang. Goodness me, the excitement of that, I'd imagine. 1 minute you're having your Weetabix, and then next minute, you know.
And the other way round for you, really.
Yeah, quite
sex,
right.
It's like, oh, in a minute, I'll be having some cereal.
Well, in the dark days, I knew I was in problems when, you know, that would be going through my head sort of thing. Getting
what,
to that bowl.
Having sex, thinking
about
Frosties.
I don't know if it's as exciting as sex, but I don't know, I might be on a theme park ride or a roller coaster or, you know, watching an Indiana Jones film, something you should enjoy.
Did you experience, I've been looking into this recently, I mentioned it to someone, it seems that, this is something I thought was personal to me, but it turns out a lot of people have it. As a child, I'd climb up a rope and I'd get to a certain point and I'd just be lost in like a insane sort of prepubescent orgasm. Did you ever experience anything like that as a child?
No, it sounds wonderful,
Ryan,
but no.
Say that again. You
I'd climb up a rope.
You literally climb up a rope?
Yeah.
In your mind?
No, 100%. At school, ours was called the Southampton. It was like that thing, the wooden thing with the big, thick shipping ropes, and they'd make us climb up them where you've got the rope in between your legs and you have to shimmy up it. And I'd get to a certain point and I just would not move.
Right, I'll say I never managed to climb up the rope at school.
No, I didn't.
I wasn't
either.
Strong enough.
I didn't have the actual strength in my arms.
What caused that, do you think?
Well, I've gone on Google, and this is a thing. It exists. There are people. It's called a rope-gasm. Well, it isn't called a rope-gasm. It's been named a rope-gasm.
Well, it's called that now, yes.
And
yes.
And it happens, but the weird thing with me was I'd be up there, you know, what, 7 or 8 foot up. I was quite athletic as a child, and there was no going down. I did not care. I was in a completely different world. And it would be warm in my belly and in my nuts. And I'd just be, and I could hear the teachers and they'd be like, almost like a
He's
reverb.
Having a rogasm.
Yeah.
One of those
we won't get him down now. And I'd just be, you know, stuck up there.
Do you ever think about going up a rope again?
Well, I mentioned this to my friend recently and he said it still works. Now,
well, I mean, you don't have to pay $150,000 to climb a rope, do you? Just get one of those outside your toilet window and just sort of climb it. And I'm just thinking, do you know what I mean? In a sense of, I'm just thinking. I mean, if I could have a rope gasm, I'd be grabbing myself some rope ASAP. And
give it a go.
I don't mind people judge.
Ah, of course. Well, give it a go and get back to us. Because I tell you what, as a child, it was.
I don't think he will give it a go, and that annoys me.
I haven't got the upper body strength to actually manage it. I'd need to climb up a ladder, then get on the rope, then I wouldn't be able to stay on it. I haven't got the upper. I mean, look at my arms. I don't mind saying it.
I'm not sure that the climbing has got much to do with it. I think you could probably stand on the ground, but maybe
is it
not.
Is with the rope between your legs?
Yeah. But then, having said that, it might have had something to do with the exertion as well. I don't know.
And what is
I
the reason
I love it
for
that
it?
David is speechless. It's honestly, it's one of the first times in about
I've
eight
I've
episodes.
I've been introduced to something brand new here.
A rope-gasm.
Yeah, a rope-gasm. I never even, you know, never realised, goodness me. I mean, why do they think it happens then?
Well, I don't know. I haven't got that far, but it is certainly a shared experience.
So, like, sailors have spoken about it when they've been at sea and things like that?
No, just people like myself, just people who, were as children, were encouraged to climb ropes and all sorts of things. I mean, I mentioned it to my girlfriend the other day, and she was telling me about when she went horse riding as a child, and likewise, she didn't want to get off that horse.
I've heard about that, certainly.
Have you?
Yeah, I have heard the movement and penetration of a horse seat.
I don't think it penetrates you.
No, you're quite right. We don't want to be penetrated. You're quite right about a horse.
I have seen that, though. I have seen a film of that.
Good. Well, I've heard on the internet you can...
You know what? The funny thing about porn, it's the details that kind of offend me and stick in my mind.
Definitely.
She was a very beautiful woman. She had sex with a horse. And the weird thing was...
What, are you telling me to shush?
No, I'm near to saying S-H-I-T kind of thing. Okay. Blasphemy, not shush.
The bit I remember, the bit that stuck in my mind was the horse pulled out before it had finished and they collected its juices in a Veruca sock.
That is... You know, there are some... worlds and imaginations and people that we've never even thought exist.
And how long is a horse's?
They're huge. They're huge, but they do taper, and then there's like a little
size
knob.
Of a rifle. it really is
like a Lee Enfield.
Yeah, literally. Yeah,
First World War.
Samurai sword sort of thing.
Oh God!
Wow.
That's horrific. That is awful, isn't that?
I was lent a movie called Zoo, and I knew nothing about it. This isn't a porno, a documentary. And I started watching it. It's a documentary about a man who died. He was part of this group that liked...
It's a documentary.
Well, it's not. When you hear the next bit, it's far from
okay.
Right. He was... There's a group of men online who liked having sex with horses. Now, in my head, that they'd be sort of maybe having sex with the horse, but no, they were the passive part, on all fours with the horse entering them. And it killed him.
I'm not surprised. No. I'm amazed.
Keep your voice down.
Sorry.
It killed him, but there's added bits to it. His online moniker was Mr. Hands. And they measure horses in hands, don't they? And I thought about him. He had a family. And I thought, check it out, Zoo. He had a family. And you know it's weird when your mum turns up at school and she's got a stupid hat on and all your mates are like, maybe we see your mum, she's stupid. Can you imagine being the son or the daughter of a man who the whole of the internet knows was killed by a horse's willy?
Horrific.
Absolutely.
Pain that'll be passed on down generations.
I think so. I think there's definitely some trauma there.
Your father was, you know, raped by a literal stallion.
No, he wasn't.
It wasn't. He wasn't.
No. Mine?
Not yours. God, no, Chris. God, talking about myself, David.
Yours was.
Mine wasn't. No one's has. You know, I had nothing to do with the agriculture industry. I mean, I don't even visit farms or anything like that. It's not my neck of the woods. Do you know what I mean? But it really is a case.
I have finished your hair. Come, David. You
laugh. Forget reality.
I forgot you were doing it, mate.
Goodness me, what these people are
it
doing.
It looks lovely.
Zoo it's called, is it?
Yes.
Zoo.
You've got brother written over your right ear.
Oh, thank you very much, brother, and I'll
have
sister.
A perm?
Aren't you Chris Dangerfield?
Oh, Chris.
What hairstyle are you after, son?
I'd like a permanent wave.
Oh, very nice. That sounds like a boy band name, it should be called.
Well, that's
permanent
what,
wave.
Leave it with me.
Leave it with him.
No problem, because that's what a perm is short for, isn't it?
Permanent
I found this
wave.
Out this week.
Permanent wave.
An accidental research for this show, perhaps.
Wow.
It's incredible. It's called a permanent wave. Mm. That's a perm.
Yeah.
Well, I never knew that at all.
My brother.
And Bran. I can start your perm as well.
Thank you.
Wonderful stuff.
OK, shall we have the golden question section?
Absolutely. Were you going to say something about your brother, or...?
Oh, sorry.
No, not at all.
No, go on.
My brother was a massive homosexual, and we grew up in a working-class community where they weren't really accepted in those days at all. And so he would make friends with my mum's friends and, like, knit and do weird things while I was getting in trouble with the police and taking drugs. He was very, very feminine. And there was one girl in my street who was a student at St Martin's College of Arts. She was a hairdresser. And so she would try out haircuts on my brother all the time. And he had a perm once, but it was so tight, it looked like he had loads of baked beans all over his head.
Oh, my God.
And he was... Me and my dad and my mum would really laugh at my brother because he was so sort of arrogant. He was aloof and above us because we were working class.
Right.
His first Saturday job was Harrods.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, ridiculous. Just like...
aspirations.
Yeah, and he bought a load of Dijon mustard home once that we'd never heard of. My old man was just dipping his sausages in it. And my brother was, leave my room alone. But once he had this haircut... I said, you know, it's nice in this environment to talk about this.
Perfect.
He had this haircut, which was kind of castellated fringe.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And me and my dad were just sort of sitting there, you know, trying not to laugh. We weren't trying to, you know, pick on the boy, but it's hard work when he's got a castle fringe. And in the end, we just broke. And he was like, you lot don't know anything. And my dad said, it looks like a castle, son. And he went, yes, it's meant to. It's ridiculous.
Oh. I'd love you to have a castellated fringe.
Yeah.
I would happily, if Charles can sort that out, I'd be castellated in a second. Quite happily.
I can do that.
Was your dad happy to embrace his homosexuality? Because he sounds like quite
my
a man's
dad
man.
Died before he came out.
Oh,
but
right.
We all knew anyway. A male man didn't give a toss, really.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Definitely. No, it's good to, you know, sort of what the hell, rock and roll sort of element.
Rock and roll.
I don't know. I'm sort of...
talking about rock and roll.
I think rock and roll in the sense of let's all just have fun together in a field, sort of, somewhere in Glastonbury.
Okay, yeah.
Have you got homosexuals in your life at all? Is this something that you've...
Have I got homosexuals in my life?
You seem to be struggling a little bit.
I think I've got one or two hanging about.
What about trans people?
No. No, I don't mean in a bad way. I'd happily invite them in on Christmas morning, you know, or whenever there's a social gathering. But I haven't... I've watched many a documentary, happily, sat through the whole thing with them featured in it, but never actually in person.
I've had sex with transsexuals.
There you go. What the hell? You know.
Have you really?
Yeah, post and pre-op as well.
Hang on a minute. I've got to get my head around this. So, a pre-op looks like what?
A pre-op's still got a penis. If it's a man becoming a woman, obviously, and a post-op, after operation, has no penis, has a crafted vagina.
Goodness me, you've seen worlds that we could only... I don't even think my imagination summoned
them,
really.
All that money you spent on cereals, you know, now you're saving it, you should invest it maybe in a trans.
And how was it with a pre-op? How was it?
It was a shock because I didn't know. It wasn't something I tried. I didn't go out looking for a man with a penis dressed as a woman. I went out looking for a lady.
So it was like Mona Lisa, that moment in the film where it's like, bloody hell.
Absolutely, I know that actor.
And were you shocked or did you just go with it?
Well, it was madness because we ended up having a fight whilst we carried on having... She started sucking my penis.
Yeah.
But then went for my proper punch in the face or something.
Why?
I have no idea. I mean, I think a lot of people I've met in the sex industry, not all, hashtag not all, a lot of them have got sexual traumas and a lot of them I think are trying to somehow, you know, work through that in the real world. In the present situation.
Right, okay.
But it was shocking, just bang. I mean, a man's arm with fingernails on is a dangerous weapon.
Really?
So when you witnessed the penis, what how did you react? Did you go...
Well, this is a weird thing, because from the penis up, one of the hottest women I've ever seen, you know, seriously, absolutely beautiful. But when I realised that it was a bloke, it was a bit like... It seemed more perverted to stop. Because I was aroused as hell. I was absolutely crying. Yeah. And I thought, hang on, what? This would be mad to leave. There is a funny end to this, though. So we had this sort of sex, and as we're having sex, it became it. That was just a mistake. See, we can all do it, David. She became more masculine. The male veins come up on the neck.
Oh,
the big trap muscles got bigger.
Here we go, mate.
You know, transforming.
Absolutely became more masculine. You can have all the hormones in the world, but your sweat is quite masculine. You're going to cough and you're going to grunt.
Apple appears like, and all gonna, that, yeah, right.
You're going to grunt like a man and all this. When I had finished, and it was me that finished, I come.
Yes.
Afterwards, I didn't know what to do, and I thought... patted him on the back. Nice one, mate. Did you know what happened at the football the weekend? I got all sort of masculine on it, you know.
Male kind of banter bonding.
Yeah, but unnecessary. It was madness on my part. It was just fear, maybe a little bit of embarrassment.
Well, it's just confusion, you know. A man, woman, you don't quite... You've got an agenda blur.
How do you think you would be in that situation?
Hang on. A gender blur was brilliant.
Yeah, well, you just wouldn't know, you know, should I curtsy or should I give him a high five? You don't quite know. You're sort of like a robot stuck in the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, you're right.
Not quite sure what to... Brian, I wouldn't know... You know, I think I would... you know, I think I just have to sit down and have a whiskey or something. I don't know what. It'd just be a real shock.
Calm down.
You're quite right. I'm not there now. You know, the trans community aren't demanding anything from me. I'm merely gazing from the sideline.
Yeah.
And if I found myself in that position, I think it would just be a case of, you know, nothing against you, but I'd have to apologise and I'll give them the money still.
Would you really? Hang on. So you see someone, you're going to see a sex worker, you've made that decision, you've paid the money,
there you go.
You're paying first, basically.
Yes.
So that's happened. You're aroused, it's exciting.
I'm in the mode, in the zone.
And then suddenly, this is essentially a biological male. And you're going to stop because of that, even though you're still aroused? And the question I'd ask is, why?
Well, I think I can really vision in my head the idea of becoming quite blokey. And also, this person's tried to give me a jab in the jaw.
No. Forget my situation. And that was only once. I have also had sex with transsexuals. They didn't fight me. But I'm just saying to you, it seems to me that once you realise they're a biological male, you'd quit.
Well, if the volcano was near to eruption, if we were seconds from Pompeii just being covered in lava type of thing, I suppose you would just have to see it through to the end. You'd dribble it to the goalpost and score a goal. And then it would be picking you up, and it'd be like, don't pick me up, I just want to go into the dressing room and just sort of sort things out. You know, I don't want to hold up the trophy.
And how would you sort it out? What do you think would be going on in you?
Lots of walks in the dales. But
what would you? What do you feel about yourself? What
confused, you not thinking to myself, well, I thought I'd worked out the Dave Edwards narrative. I thought I knew who I was, what I was about.
This is the mistake you make. We're not something, are we? We're always becoming. Don't put those limits on yourself.
Yes.
But you've created the confusion, because actually the situation's obvious. You're aroused. You're sexually aroused. It's a biological male. You're still aroused. You're confusing yourself by making a question. Surely the answer is just carry on.
Well, I hope...
But actually, your perm's looking superb, by the way.
Thank you very much.
It really is. You're really pulling it off.
Carry on, David.
It has to be applauded, that perm. No, you're quite right to stop things for that element. Yeah, I wasn't sure what I was going to... I'm trying to get my head around it, really.
You said it was confusing, and I'm suggesting that you're
You are right, what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. Too many questions, too many barriers. I'm imprisoning myself. I am the prisoner and the prison warden.
You're as gay or straight as the last... Or the person you're having sex with at the moment, surely.
We're just an endless blur of energy.
Endless blur.
And I am the prisoner, but the prison warden, and I can let myself out of that prison whenever
surely
I want.
Surely you're having fun. It's just like, yeah, so what?
I guess so,
but... That's what I'm saying.
You'd still be laying there thinking, what happened there, Dave?
But that's exciting. That's why you do things.
Oh, I'm sure it would be, but, you know, then you've got to have roast dinner with your parents the next day, and it's like they're passing you the OXO, and you're thinking...
Well, what have they got to do with any of it?
Well, I don't know. It hangs,
what hangs
on your shoulders.
Well, does it?
It certainly does.
So are you suggesting that your parents would be happy with the sex you've had so far?
I don't think they'd be applauding me. I don't think my dad would be saluting type of thing, but I think it'd be all passable. I think, yeah, fair enough, like an MOT in a car, you know. It's not a Lamborghini, but yeah, we can get that on the road. We
and
can
that's
work.
Important to
it's
you.
It's not illegal. I think, you know, it's a case that I don't want any skeletons in my closet type of thing. Hanging around type of thing. What was that about? You know, kind of element. But at the same time, I do agree I'm putting limitations on myself.
And do you think you may have let your parents down by doing that?
If I was to do that...
So the Sunday roast, you feel a little bit of shame.
Oh, as I'm eating the crumble and they're giving me some more custard, I'll be thinking, oh, if only you knew where, you know, I was.
You see, that's interesting.
In the alleyway last week.
Because I had the opposite. When I was a young teenager and getting involved in my, you know, my early sexual experiences, I'd get home and we didn't have a Sunday dinner. We were on the laps watching Wogan.
But oh, yes,
I'd
yeah.
be sitting there, like, thinking, yeah, you lot know nothing. You don't know what I've been doing.
So it adds the excitement.
Well, no, but I was kind of proud of it rather than ashamed or concerned. You know.
Well, I think there's probably the dark side of me that probably would be like, oh, if they knew this, isn't this exciting? I'm out of control. Someone hold me down type of thing. But then afterwards, well, it's like anything, isn't it? Once that volcanic eruptions happens and you've gone through that that G-force of enjoyment type of thing.
The petty more.
Yeah, the petty more. You're quite right. And, you know, you're left with a sort of, like, erotic hangover, you're a bit, you know, all over the place.
I'm terrible at that. While I'm still coming... Oh, sorry, I didn't want to...
No, OOPIs.
Literally, while I'm still coming, I'm thinking, oh, wonder what's on telly. You know, I'm done.
Yeah.
Finished, complete. I mean, the best thing, though, is your brain goes blank, though, I find, during that moment.
It's the cereal buzz. Same thing
you
look
for. It is exactly like a bowl of Frosties. You're completely right.
There you go.
It's that. All over. I have a vacation from Dave Edwards. Oh, my lords.
And you like that?
Yes, I love it.
You've nailed it on the head there. A vacation from self.
Oh, and wonderful.
And why is that a good thing?
Because I'm not wrapped up in narratives, thoughts, ideas. What does this person think of me? What am I doing next? I'm bored. Why isn't he going to share his Frosties with me? Endless scenarios and situations. It's just the pause, the DVD stuck in the groove, and I'm just not thinking.
I mean, Brian, this is a man that thinks about his parents when he's having sex. So a holiday from self is probably quite important.
Do you think?
Seconds.
I suppose you do, don't you?
Oh, that's what he said.
It's more like Simon Cowell on X Factor. Do you know what I mean? It's a case of like, I feel as though I might be judged. I don't know why. I've never thought about it, but I suppose they are in the room in a sense.
Brown.
Yes.
Your perm is not working out so well. I have made an error, I think. All your hair and scalp has burnt away.
Well, do you know what? I mentioned Chris's perm. I thought his looked lovely. David's. No one sort of mentioned mine. It's kind of embarrassed sort of glances every so often.
I think one in three perms is bound to fail, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately so. But I think you're still pulling it off. I think you've got a very aerodynamic skull head, sort of egg head vibe.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind just going for the baked bean look, to be honest with you.
There we go.
OK, so we haven't really done the golden question section.
You're quite right, because I...
Can we have a quick golden question section and then we'll end our haircuts and...
You are quite right, because you mentioned golden question and I interrupted. I think I took it off rail, which is bad of mentioning. Golden question, here we go. Let's really dig deep. Don't worry, I won't let you down.
Don't point at me.
Sorry, I won't whatsoever. It is a case of...
You're almost in Rodin's thinker there.
I know, absolutely.
I think all this chat about rotegasms and, you know, your father and whatnot and post-op, I think, you know, I don't think you can follow it with a question.
Absolutely. Here we go. It's a case of, can you get sick of sex? Is it like chocolate? Can you have so much sex that after a while you just can't be bothered with it and you're just going through the motion like a robot?
You know what? There was a time when I was using a lot of amphetamines. And I
like
was,
speed?
It is, absolutely right, okay. Speed, yeah. And methamphetamine is similar sort of stuff. But this was a dirty old council estate amphetamine sulfate made in a bathtub. £2.50, you'll be awake for 2 weeks.
Why not?
And I was having sex with a partner, and we'd done about 12 days. Pretty much endless. Not just, but, you know, this, that, change this, get a prostitute in, and maybe watch a couple of films, you know. And we lost a few stone, and by the end of it, we were like, you know, sort of half-dead, skeletal.
Can you have that much pleasure? Can the human being have that much pleasure?
You know what? When I stopped, I took speed almost all the time for about 5 years. And giving it up wasn't difficult, but letting go of the what the homosexual community call, which I'm not gay, but the homosexual community call it chemsex. They advertise in magazines for chemsex, and it means chemical sex. And letting go of amphetamines for me wasn't difficult in for a drug reason, but knowing I'd never have that amount of sexual focus again was quite difficult.
Wow, I imagine so.
But in answer to your question, I was putting up some scaffolding a few weeks ago, this bloke, this old man, and he said to me, he said, I don't know why you bother all that sex. And I said, well, not interested. He said, no, I woke up one day, couldn't give a toss. So apparently, yeah. But then someone like Charles Bukowski, the writer, he was having sex till he was like 70, 75, still writing about
still
it, still
libido,
talking.
Still there. But if you're continually having it over a long, long period, because, I mean, you know, people like myself, we have big gaps, you know, big breathers type of thing. It's like a vacation, you know, you enjoy it because you only do it, like, you know, several times a year. But if you're doing it continually, all the time, I imagine,
sorry,
yeah, indeed,
I like all
that's
the
a click, click, click.
Yeah.
It's a case of, you know, I imagine if I just ate chocolate all the time, you just, I guess, you know, if you've got the chemicals there to help you along.
Did you get bored of your granola?
Very true. No, I didn't. You're quite right.
Amazing.
We're back to the cereal, and that's the truth. I had to get myself off the cereal. You know, I'd be still on there now.
I think that answered your question, really. So why are you having the sex? And then you can find out if you can have too much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in those days, I was certainly running from something. And I was acting it out through sex.
Are you still running now, Chris?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think everyone's running? Do you think we never stop running?
I know. I've met a few people in my life who I absolutely respect and admire because they seem to have found a significant piece of themselves and the planet.
Well, do you know what? We're going to end there. I'd love Chris to come bonk on the episode again. I'm sure you would as well, David.
Could you just say come bonk on the episode?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, no, I'd very much like Chris to come bonk on the episode.
Both. Come back, come bonk. Whatever you want to do, Chris.
Your hair
do.
Is done, Chris. You look superb.
Thanks so much for coming to the hairdresser.
Oh, well, no, it's really nice of you to have us, to be honest with you.
It is.
I'll pay up afterwards. To end the episode, David.
This one is on me.
Oh, it's very good of you.
Thank you, Charles.
Very good. There's a little OOP waving at you there, David.
Oh, hello. Salutes. There you go.
What have you learnt from Chris today?
Well, it's almost like, what haven't I learnt, really? I think it's...
Okay, what haven't you learnt?
What haven't I learnt? That's probably... we haven't touched upon the Second World War or things like that, but we haven't...
Okay, so what have you learnt?
You're quite right. Keep me focused, Brian. It's very much a case of, well, just... parts of my orifice I didn't know existed, G-spots, the sexual realm, which I thought was just an allotment.
Did we talk about G-spots?
No, you're throwing rubbish here, because actually I think you learned something quite precise, quite specific.
Yeah, what have you learned?
We didn't talk about G-spot.
I'm holding myself back from exploring myself sexually. I think that's the key thing. I'm too critical. I'm seeing my father continually in my head during moments of erotic sensation, judging me. He needs to just be left for roast dinners, not in the bedroom type of thing. And it's just a case of... It's an element of I'm holding me back. David Edwards is holding David Edwards back.
There you go. I think it's possible for you to get a vacation from self without eating cereals, without making phone lines.
Yes.
There's alternative ways.
What will one be, just for me to look at?
No, that's your choice. You have to go and discover that. I could give you mine, but it'll be wrong. It'll be mine.
Quite right.
Thank you so much, Chris.
A real pleasure.
Thank you very much.
A pleasure. Can I plug my something?
Yeah, the only thing is, we'll put this out before. We'll put this out in the next month.
It doesn't matter. Just go on YouTube, search Chris Dangerfield. I've got a new channel, news, culture, current affairs, usual nonsense.
Perfect.
That's it. Just search for Chris Dangerfield. Thank you.
There we go. Do you want to plug anything, David?
I've got nothing at the moment to plug.
Brilliant. Okay.
There we go.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. And thank you, Chris. Thank you, David. Thank you. And see you on the next episode.